All right, this is Tony Alamo, and we have a semi-short message here. The Lord told me to do, and when I came out, I found out there's a reason why there's some people that have been taken to the water, but they stopped drinking, and they, like for instance, Mr. Steve Crook, I could tell that he was going really astray bad. And I told him if he didn't, he'd start getting his seizures back again, and could wind up being just as evil as his brother was, who killed his mother. And he's very bitter and is causing all kinds of trouble out on the witnessing crew, telling people that they could only eat one meal a day, and that those were orders were not from me. I wanted everybody to have three or even four meals a day. And I make sure that they do it everywhere, and I don't know how anyone could have misunderstood that message. But if you don't, people can lead you to water, but if you don't drink, you're going to go down, and down fast. And so he had a seizure today. This is September, what?
The 3rd.
And they carted him off to the hospital, and they've got an IV in him right now. And the sisters here remember me telling him that on the phone about a week ago or so. But anyway, let's start reading some more about water. I brought you a few messages in regard to eating from the Old Testament, and then also drinking from the Old Testament before the house of God was built and before the city of God was built. But now this message has to do with drinking in the house and in the city. Okay, go ahead.
Exodus 15, the tree is into the bitter waters to
make... Okay, this is a review of the different water passages that I gave you. There's five of them. And so you have to, I'll explain that. So just read that again now. This is just a review of what I've already done. All right, then go ahead, read it.
Exodus 15, the tree is into the bitter waters to make them drinkable and sweet.
It was put into the bitter waters to make them sweet and for people to be able to drink. For the children of God to be able to drink from it. Then what?
Chapter 7.
And then also, the people of the Lord who were bitter, when you put the sweet water in there, it makes them pleasant and not bitter and respectful. And it's God within a person. Without God being in a person, there is no possible way that you can stand. Now that's really was... a sad thing for me to hear today when I came out here, that Steve Crook, who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and was delivered from epileptic seizures, is now having those seizures again. Then what?
Chapter 17 of Exodus is the rock which was smitten and cleft.
That tells of the rock that was smitten and opened up, where the water gushes out and people and the cattle were able to drink. 1.5 to 3 million people. And all the cattle. Then what?
Exodus 17 is the rock which was smitten and cleft, flowing or bursting out the water of life for the people of God to drink. Chapter 20 of Numbers tells us, because the rock had been cleft, all we need to do is speak to the rock to receive and enjoy his living water.
Right, it's ought to be cleft only once, and so all we need to do now is to speak to the rock. We are able to drink of the water. Speak to the Lord, and the Lord will fill you. Then what?
And the 21st chapter of Numbers is the well that must also be in us.
Right, but all the dirt has to be dug out of the well. So I see a lot of people, you know, paying attention now, because you've heard this before, and this is good that you get jogged with it again today, right?
Yes.
Okay, all the dirt has to be out so that the water can run free, so that it can flow out of you. Otherwise, nothing, there's no well in you, there's no work of God being done in you. Then what?
To have it, we must dig away all the dirt in our soul.
To have the well of life in us that springs up into eternal life, we must what?
Dig away all the dirt in our soul so the well may have an open way to flow out of us.
And then what?
In Judges chapter 15, Samson called on the Lord. Verse 18, Because he was dying of thirst, God gave him water to drink, and he was revived.
So he was revived because, and got water to quench his thirst because he called upon the Lord. And a lot of people, including Steve Cook, was thirsting, yet he didn't go to drink. And he unglued, and that's the way people are every day. You can be put in many situations, and there are many situations that will happen to you today. And if you're not filled with the living water, the water of life, if you're not filled with the Lord, you won't do in that situation the things that God wants to do in you. Okay, you must let the Lord have his way in you and through you. Then what else?
When we call upon the name of the Lord is how we are able to get the living water from God so we can drink and be revived.
So that these are illustrations that show you all the different ways that you can drink from the Lord before in the Old Testament, which is also tells you that the Lord fulfilled that and reiterated these things in the Gospels, and it's mentioned throughout Paul's writings and all throughout the New Testament as well. And then it tells of the river of life that is in the New Jerusalem, which originally was in the Garden of Eden. And it had four heads, which means four streams, all right, for man, because four is the number of man. And there's four heads or four streams that come out, and they go towards the east and to the west, to the Dead Sea and also to the Mediterranean, right, for everybody to enjoy. Okay, then what? These are all symbolic. Then what?
These five Old Testament passages show us the living waters to quench our thirst and dissolves all of our problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he felt like having an epileptic seizure, all he'd have to do is be drinking the water, and that solves that problem, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And whatever kind of problem you've got, bitterness in you, throw the tree of life into you, into your bitter waters in you, and you won't be bitter anymore because the Lord said through Paul that bitter, and the Lord said himself that bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same fountain. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't be half Christian, half devil. You've got to have all sweet water in order to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, because nothing evil is going to get into heaven. No bitterness. And people should be rejoicing in this world that they have heaven within. The Lord says the kingdom of heaven is not seen with, it's not with observation. The kingdom of heaven is within. The living waters are within you. Because the Lord is the heaven. He's the living water. He's the good land. He's everything. Amen?
Amen.
He's the produce. He's the tree of life. He's the river of life. He's the streams of life. He's the fountain, the well and the fountain in us that springs up to eternal life. And so that's why he's everything. And that's why we have to have all of our concentration on him. Because we have nothing without him, and we have everything with him. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
These five examples make up the first part of the children of Israel's drinking problems before the house of God was ever built and before the city was built.
The city of God is Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
And the house of God are the different people that are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Ye are the temple of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that you don't belong to yourself? You're supposed to have given yourself unto the Lord a long time ago. Amen?
Amen. Now the second phase of the children of Israel's drinking after the building of the house of God and God's city.
And after the building of God's city. Okay, then what?
The water of life to drink is always related to either the house of God or the city of God.
Right. Then what?
Psalm 36:8 tells us
the water to drink is for the people of God and for the corporate body of Christ, which is the church. Amen? Amen. Or the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord's in you, but he wants all of the people in the house of God to have the be drinking the water too, so that as a corporate body, we're able to be a great and mighty testimony in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Psalm 36:8 tells us, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house.
The house. Emphasis on house. They'll be filled with God's, the fatness of God, the fullness of God, okay? In the house, which you know you not that you're the house of God? In my Father's house are many houses, many mansions, all right? When the Lord's living in there, you're a mansion, okay? So you're the house of God, the temple of God, the mansion of God. If it were not true, he wouldn't have said it. Then what?
And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures.
Yeah. The Lord wants, sometimes he'll create an environment to where it's so bad that you have to call upon the Lord. And so then in that way he makes you drink from that river of God's pleasure, because he's only pleased in those that have the river with the four heads in it, the four streams of God, their fountain of God, the tree that makes the water sweet instead of bitter, the calling upon the Lord so that you can be satisfied and filled with water, and your thirst will be quenched. Then what?
In this passage, God's house is mentioned. Psalm 46:4 tells us, quote, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
Right. The city of God is only going to be glad when the streams are going through them. Amen?
Amen.
Because you could say you're a child of God, but if you don't have God in you, then you're no child of the Lord. He takes it, he'll put you through it in hopes to that you'll drink. Because if a baby doesn't drink, it dies. And if a person doesn't drink, they die. Just even the natural water for your body. And if you don't drink the waters of life, you will have no life in you. You'll be dead. Then what? No power in you.
In this verse, the river is in the city.
Right. The river's in the church. The New Jerusalem, the whole body of Christ, all right? That's what that signifies. Okay, then what?
The river that makes the city glad is in the city and has streams, as the river in the Garden of Eden did, which river parted into four heads, which is the same as four streams.
Yeah, you can remember that now, right? Then what else?
It's Genesis 2:10. The two passages in Psalms tells us that the river is in the house within the city.
The river is in the house if you're in the New Jerusalem, if you're in the Lord. Amen? In the city, in the church, the body, the bride. Then what?
Because the house of God is in the city, the river in the house is in the city as well.
Right. So God honors the house if it's in the city. Okay? Then the river is in the house and in the city. Amen? And a lot of houses in the city shows that the river will be there and people will be have a continuous inflowing of the Word of God, the water of God, and the meat of God. All right? The meat of Christ. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. All right, then what?
Joel 3:18 tells us that a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord.
Yeah, if you're of the Lord, then some kind of water is going to come out of you, right? So why? So that you can water other people. The Lord wants to have all the dirt dug out of you so that you can water people. water the church and so that the world can get watered as well. Then with all that good water to drink, and people don't stand after that, they feel that they've heard the last message, they don't need to hear anything else from the Lord, you go down very fast, like a bag of bolts. Okay? You throw a bag of bolts in the water, it sinks. Amen?
Amen.
Right down to the bottom, and nothing's going to flow out of it. Then what else?
Zechariah 14:8 tells us that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea.
And the symbolic Jerusalem is symbolic of the new Jerusalem. Amen? So the water has to come out of the bride, the body of Christ, the new Jerusalem. Then what?
The river flows two ways, one toward the Dead Sea to the east and the other way toward the Mediterranean to the west. In Joel and Zechariah, once more we see that the river is in the house and in the city.
Right, it has to. When you first get saved, you feel a tremendous rushing of the Holy Spirit going through you. Then pretty soon, you know, after a month or so, or a few months, you don't feel that anymore. But you begin feeling it again. You might feel it from time to time, but when you get into the church, then you'll feel it constantly if people are that are of the Lord, that are drinking, are in the church, and they're letting the Lord pour himself out of them. But if people are unwilling to go to church because they just feel it's nothing, well then, my friend, you're nothing, because this is the way the Bible from the Old Testament to the throughout the whole Bible, from the Old to the New, right from the Garden of Eden right into the New Jerusalem. That's what it says, all right? That's what God's Word says. Then what?
Ezekiel 47 tells us how the living waters issue out from under the threshold of the house, verse 1. And Isaiah 55 plainly shows us that there is a call to those who thirst to preach the gospel.
Right. God is calling those. If you have a thirst in you, then that thirst is there for you to drink so that you can be a preacher. Okay? There's a call from God on everyone who thirsts. Because he's not wanting you to just drink and not do something with that which you drink. He wants to be in you. He wants you to use that water. He doesn't want to pour it into you and then have you be dead. The Lord is the man of action. The flesh of the Lord is for moving, and the water is for pouring out, gushing out. Then what else?
This call is a call for everyone who thirsts to come to the waters to drink.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alone.